everyone. This is 901 Paranormal. We are inside the Sears Crosstown building again on North Watkins Street. With me tonight is Lisa and James, her dog. Tonight's very awesome. I'm really excited to have her, Abigail Noel, a psychic medium from Midtown. You're from Midtown, right?
Yeah.
Well, Midtown, Memphis, yeah. Is here with us too. And we've already kind of heard something go on. We heard a scream. Was that a scream?
I'm not sure what it was, but it sounded like it was inside the building because it definitely echoed.
We did all agree that it kind of had an echo to it, so it had to have been in the building. So, anyways, I guess we're just going to walk around. We're going to share microphones. If you want to talk about the building at all, Lisa, please feel free to do that. I'll just kind of lean the microphone in towards you. So let's go figure out what that noise is real quick because it's still going on.
Let's do that.
Do you want to... I'm going to let you guys lead us, her based on feelings, and you just if you want to talk about it.
My whole purpose is to just help you get to wherever you want to go, and if there's anything historical or architectural or anything that you'd like to know about a specific space, I can speak to that if I know about it.
Okay, so, cool.
And we're on the first floor of the I guess it's not the tower part, it's one of the add-ons.
Yes.
Okay, the warehouse. And we are walking out onto the, I guess where the trains would come.
Yes, on the north loading dock.
The north loading dock to do deliveries or pickups. So.
Okay.
That's the original building. It was built in 1927. About 700,000 square feet in 185 days. Only two people died building the building, and Sears thought that that was a...
A good
huge
number.
Accomplishment.
Wow. Wow.
Is
okay.
What the stories say.
So that's what they're.
In the 20s, though, I think that is kind of like a. Yeah.
Kind of
a big deal.
Yeah.
And well. So, yeah, we're standing on the addition. If you could actually kind of come out to the rail bridge, you can get an idea.
Ooh.
Space and place of where we are. But this is the original building. That tower with the iron around the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
That you see, that is the center of the original building. That's the tower where the Sears sign used to actually be up in red lights. And in the original department store, people actually came in through that tower. The reason the tower exists is there's a 75,000-gallon metal water tank that's at the top of there that was a gravity-fed sprinkler system throughout the building.
Mm.
And that's why it was designed in this way.
Okay.
And this was one of the... There was about six additions, and... which was the warehouse, is what you came into.
What's this building?
This is the old air chiller plant and machinery plant.
Will we be walking through there?
We can.
Have you ever gone in through there?
No. We actually, like I said, we barely scratched the surface when we were here last time.
Okay.
It was dark, so I had no idea where we were anyways.
Okay.
And this is the only part of the building. It's not in the original 1.5 million square feet. As you can see, this was sort of added on to some of the old air handling and vents. So this actually will be demolished. It's about 90,000 square feet. We just got a bunch of old machines and stuff
that's in it.
No longer
okay.
Relevant.
It'll be interesting to go in there because that's where it feels heavy. And when you said it would be demolished, like literally, I heard someone on the other side go, "Good." So I don't know what's, and then I just got chills on that. So I don't know what it is with that part of the building.
Yeah,
because and what I get too is like I said, I didn't know what. The use was, I do not know any of the history on this building, and that was, outside what they were telling me was that there would be people sleeping here, living here, so if that's, and then that was validated, and I'm told, some of this heavy energy, needs to go before people move in, but I think it's definitely supposed to be known as haunted.
It's always
part of the draw, right?
I think we've all kind of at one point in our lives snuck into this building. Me and Lisa talked about that as urban explorers, I think
okay,
they call it.
I've chilled someone's
And we would go. Yeah,
I bet.
We would go ghost hunting and like the brewery and all that.
Great
parties
here.
I bet.
And so, to us, it was never haunted. It was just kind of creepy. So
right.
But yeah.
Well, this area out here feels really clear to me. I mean, I'm not picking up anything out here. Do you guys feel anything?
It's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, I know. It feels nice out here.
Yes. Well, and usually with the tours, I bring everybody out here. here first to kind of get them settled before taking them in the building.
Oh, yeah.
I get quite nervous.
Oh.
Just because it's dark, it's massive, and...
We like dark. Okay. We like dark and scary, please.
James, can you get up from this way? Can you get up? Good boy.
Oh, he's
That's
sweet.
All right.
So, Abigail, while we're walking around, we've talked about this before on the phone, but you, would you mind explaining quickly and shortly, if you can, how you're able to, or how you get the information?
Sure. I use all of my senses. I'll see spirits. We were talking about this earlier. I asked to see spirits today. So I'd like to see them with my eyes, you know, my naked eyes. But for the most part, I use what spirit tells me is my third eye imagination screen.
Right.
So I watch the movie, which is delivered holographically. So I watch the movie that's fed to me, but I use all of my senses. I see, hear, smell, feel, and big time on emotions. A lot of mediums or channels don't, you know, work with the emotions as much, or more the observer. So.
Okay. And you, before we started recording, you talked about how you brought Kleenex. Do you want to say why you did that?
Yeah. Before I left, I was just told that there had been a lot of violence in the building throughout the years. And then we found out today that a couple people died building it, you know, so there's been some tragedy. When I work, because I work so empathically, if there are lower vibrational, and there will be, but where there are lower vibrational energies or where something tragic may have occurred, then most often I'll feel that. And I may even watch the movie. What's explained to me is it takes a channel or someone to witness and then to feel what happens so it can be transmuted and alchemized.
Okay.
See, we're meant to empathize with one another.
Right.
It's really important because collectively we are all one.
So when you see it, I guess, from like another point, a person's point of view that maybe was watching, like, say, so you're shown, I'm sorry, I'm trying to word this
I
right.
I watch through the eyes.
Of like a bystander.
I watch through the eyes of either the victim or even the perpetrator.
Oh.
So, and not always. Sometimes I watch from above.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm the observer. It just depends. It's really interesting because when I did do the work with the Keddie murder case, I was asked to look through the eyes of the murderers.
Oh, gosh.
And then I was shown some of what happened in their childhood, you know, what could bring a person to that place. It's not an excuse. It's just that we all have to come to a place of non-judgment before we can get
right.
past this. And no judgment means no judgment.
Right. You know? Is that hard for you when you see things like that to have no judgment?
Oh, sure it is. I think it would be difficult for anybody.
Right.
At the same time, we're here to empathize. When I was told that I was to work with the murderer, and I walked with him for about 3 or 4 months, I was a little bit angry at first. It was the only time I had a little bit of anger, and then it was just really explained to me why it was necessary.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I learned more in that 3 months or so, walking with that darker energy and understanding, you know, what would lead somebody to live that kind of life, you know, what was going on in his head. It's not because I'd sit here and say, oh, he was right, let's excuse it, he
right.
was justified. Not that at all. It's purely an understanding without judgment. And it is a tough place to go.
I can't imagine.
This would have been a retail store.
Okay.
Back in the day. You can see this was when it closed in 83, the retail store. This area stayed open as an outlet until 1987. In 1987, it was closed to the public, and just the warehouse stayed open. This area, we don't know what it was, but I'm guessing.
Oh, wow.
Because of the nursery rhyme wallpaper.
Is that children's?
Yeah, baby's clothes or the children's.
Oh, that is weird looking. It is strange how you can walk from one room to another and then just, like, feel the difference in the room.
Totally different. It was real heavy in that hallway. But
yeah, and
like,
then here it's, like, nice again.
Really here either.
Cases were where the carpet is now. They were from, you know, hats to clothing to. This is the only part of the building that doesn't have any windows. Sears actually built, you know, sheetrock and subwalling over all of it.
I kind of wondered if that wasn't why we were so creeped out in the computer lab. It was just because there weren't any windows.
They wanted.
It's like a cave.
They didn't want windows. They wanted people focused on the merchandise. Was it? I wonder if they were like the first store to do that. You know, like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a casino, right? No windows.
Yeah. This is the original entrance. So this is the center of the base of the tower. Watkins is right on the other side. So if you entered the department store back in the day, this is where you came in. That's why the elevators are actually passenger elevators and pretty. You've got the ashtray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can go in here, put your cigarette out.
Is that where your shopping carts would go?
There used to be a hot peanuts little thing right here where people could get peanuts or whatever when they came in.
Oh, wow.
This is the information booth. And then the security office was through there.
Okay, we are walking up to the second floor right now.
This is the doctor's office, right?
Yeah, this is doctor's office. This was the old Sears.
It's so different during the day.
Yeah, so when you got sick here, you just came to the doctor's office here.
And so there's no getting out of work.
Yeah. Right. These are exam rooms.
All in all, though, I'm surprised. I thought it would be denser in here.
Yeah. The computer lab, though, I really think that maybe it'll be different during the day. It was maybe just at night when we were there. But we all kind of noticed it. I think that it was just so, my ears were almost ringing. It was so silent.
So what would that space have been used for?
Warehouse.
That's warehouse?
So that would have all been inventory.
Wow.
You can still see some of the, you take a step in there, you can see the dust from where the shelving units were.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when somebody ordered something, you threw it down one of these three chutes, and so when that little green slide is the edge of a chute.
Gotcha. Okay.
You can hit the computer room and come right back out that way.
It's really. I don't know what to tell you. I'm picking up a. All I can tell you is my equilibrium. I keep getting kind of knocked out. Sometimes when you step into a lower vibration, I'll immediately kind of feel a woo. And I feel that in this room, but I'm getting a little frustrated because I want to.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I will tell you that when we were here the last time, I caught a face in the picture from this room and this corner, and that was another reason I was interested in having you in here. But and it was right about where you're about to step, like right where the corner is on this side. And I can show you the picture later, but I didn't want to tell you about that before we came in.
Yeah, because we came in from that door. Didn't we?
No, we came in from the side. Yeah. And I talked to Steven about the picture afterwards, and he said that he noticed it too. So, but I didn't know if that meant anything, you know.
Yeah, no.
It's just a face.
It's funny because I'm feeling a presence, but I'm not getting anything specific here. And I'm just speaking it because it's kind of how I work.
Yeah.
When I came up, they said there'd been some violence here.
Right.
Knew that some people, and there's a, you know, I'm feeling, is anyone else just, is it hot?
It's really hot, yeah, just okay. Right here.
Because, like, I just immediately start sweating.
I did, too, actually.
I mean, yeah. Like,
and it's
crazy.
It's really hot in here.
Okay.
Almost.
But, I mean, I can feel a lower vibration in this room. It's like it just...
It's really heavy on my chest, too, when I came in here the first time in now, too. And that just may be because my body's heating up.
Okay, so I'm... let's speak it out loud. They, you know, if there's definitely presences here, but... We would ask that they come forward.
Give us hugs.
Yeah, give us hugs. Throw something around. Not at us.
Yeah, not at us.
Yeah. So there's more offices that are that way, and then the warehouse area is back that way. So if either way we want to feel like walking, we can do.
Okay, what's this way?
Just advertising.
Okay.
I love how James just like, I'll go this way.
Well, let's follow James. Let's go. I guess we'll go down this way. But, okay. Let's keep
going. So when there's stuff like this, there's other deaths that we haven't talked about in front of you, but do you have to walk through a certain spot to feel that energy, or just by being in the building, do you automatically feel the energy? How does that work for... I mean, obviously, if there's energy there to feel, I guess not every death leaves energy behind.
Not necessarily. I don't have to walk it. You know, you could drive past a building and be shown a reed, or is that...
Right, that's kind of what I was asking. Mm-hmm. It's hard to ask a question when I don't... Like, there's no way for me to know what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, for example, I didn't know anything about this building, and about, like, 8 years ago, I was asked to drop out of the world, so, like, no TV, no magazines.
Oh, wow.
And... So with that said, being here in Memphis, I really didn't know the history of this building at all.
Right.
And the first time I drove past it, I knew I'd be walking through it someday. So it's like, it's a trip to be here.
Good.
But I always thought the energy would be heavier in here. So but I'm sure I'm feeling a presence. And then I do know they said some of the spirits who are here, who are in, you know, what we'd call the fourth dimension, are not going to be leaving. Like, they're specifically here for a reason.
Would it be silly to say that, do you think that they could be hiding from you?
No. I mean, heck, anything's possible. So, you know, I don't know. But I want to ask them to come out. You know,
if I was trying to stay in the building, I would be like, nope, I'm going to go to the other side.
Well, you know what, though? If they're meant to be here, you know what I mean, then they'll stay. If they're meant to go, they'll go. With the necessary, because really what we're doing is we're just providing the channel, you know. So we're just providing the channel for the energy to come through and work. Like when we cleared Keddie, that was amazing. I mean, it was like you could see what we were doing. You know, there were seven of us. We planted the crystals. I really realized we were creating a vortex to send those souls home.
Okay.
You know, it was pretty amazing.
Did you do that in the cabin where it happened?
No, it was wild as I thought we'd be working from the foundation.
Oh, that's right, because the cabins were torn down.
Yeah, but we didn't. They asked us to go out because what it was is they said there was so much violence there that that just needed to be cleared to create the vortex for them to jump. They took us to a place down by the river in the yard where the little girl used to play.
I read when I was looking at the Keddie murders too that the little girl, there was a girl who was maybe 8 or 9 years ago. They found her bones.
They took the little girl.
Okay, because in the information I could read, it didn't say that she was taken, just that she was missing. But they didn't really say what happened to her.
Yeah, it was shown to me that she was taken. They kept her for about a 3-week period of time, and then it was shown to me. What they did to cross her, and then they took her back to the area that she was from, but not back to the house. They left her, and I think
it was almost like Camp 2 miles away or something from the actual cabin where they were staying.
Correct.
Or something.
Yeah, and she was not found though for like many years later.
Right.
So she would have been like 16 when the remains were found and identified. So. Okay, so we'll just speak it out loud. We'd like some ghosts.
Yeah, where the ghosts at?
Maybe that was me. Maybe we need to go back. All right, we're here ghost busting. We need to try a different approach.
Ghost walking is not working.
We need to do, what's that guy's name? Hey, you know, where he like yells at him. And
oh, the guy from...
The angry ghost? It's not ghosts. It's not ghost hunters. It's what is that? Ghost Adventures is the name of the show.
Yeah, and they like yell at him and all this.
Do you get out here? They're so funny.
It's so funny. I'm like, really, what you're doing is you're just fueling their fire. That's what's so funny. So maybe we need to just
start harassing you.
Where are you guys?
We're here in peace, but we're just going to yell at you for a little while.
And then I'd love to see. I was telling Lisa that I used to see more before I communicated. Now that you communicate, it's so much easier for
them to just talk to you instead of have to show themselves.
Yes, it takes less energy. I didn't understand that for the longest time.
So if I get the chills, should I tell you that I'm getting the chills?
Sure.
Well, I mean, we said chills just to validate, so I didn't know if we were going to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, the heaven hugs. Have you had anything happen on tours, Lisa? Has anyone felt anything when you brought people through?
Yeah, I mean, people definitely get the chills, the hair stands up in the back of the neck. You can see people, you know, like sort of walk by a hall and then stop and then like walk back.
It's in the darker rooms. I kept myself looking at where the light was coming from, being like, something's about to walk by or something. It's almost like you just wait for it because it's so dark and you want to see something.
Where I felt the most energy was the room we walked into.
The first floor?
Yeah.
When we were leaving the first time, when we were here with Stephen from Mid-South Ghost Hunters, James, did we hear a noise? Or did he just start, like, I could have sworn we heard something.
I thought he just kind of ran over.
Oh, yeah, he did. He kind of got, like, not an alert, but was very interested in something on the other side of the room. Paying attention to something
that
we can see. What floor are we on right now? We're on the floor. I get turned around. We got one flight of stairs. I just give up.
I turn around still, and I'm in here all the time.
This is where we were here last time, right? The same place?
I think that was on three.
Okay.
Yeah, you haven't been right here before. We can go down to into the picking and packing.
Sure. Yeah. I think this area on floor three is where I caught another picture, like a leg.
Maybe we can go. Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't tell you that.
No.
I put it on Facebook. I showed it to Justin, and he was like, ooh. It was one of those things where, the more I look at it, though, the more I'm like, well, maybe it's just dust, but there's no other, like, the orb thing or dust in the picture. But to me, it looks like a guy just, like, literally right in front of us just sitting down like this. But you can see from, like, here down. He's got his hand on his leg. And then, like, you can kind of see, like, a pink side to the other. But it was, like he was just sitting there watching us, like, okay. Yeah.
Are they going to keep any of the, well, I guess probably not. They'll replace the windows. Were they going
to
do something creative, though?
Actually, because it's a historic monument, it's now a historic monument as of last year, we have to keep the facade of the building the same. So we'll have to keep the windows or replace the windows.
In some way.
Yeah.
Very cool.
What is that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Abigail, come look at this.
What is it doing?
I have no idea.
Seen it do that before. And there it goes.
What? That was so weird.
That was really strange.
Oh, I guess I should take a picture of that. The whole screen was like
shaking.
In waves. That was really weird.
Check the battery.
It's a 73. I had 96 when we got here.
That's about right.
That was weird. All right. I guess I should talk about that. I forgot I was podcasting for a minute. My phone, I was taking a picture. We're back on the third floor, and my phone, I was taking a picture out of a window towards the Cleveland Street Flea Market, and my phone camera had started waving. I don't even know.
It looked like your screen was made of Jello.
It was doing the wave.
And it was waving. That's what it kind of looked like.
It was rippling.
Yeah.
It was going like this, though. It was so weird.
Yeah, but the way it was doing it was strange.
It was like my whole phone was vibrating.
It almost looked to me, I mean, it really did. It almost looked to me like you were picking up on energy, you know, that was moving.
It was vibrating, but my whole
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. That was really strange. All right. Okay.
Have we passed, and I don't mind because I'm just doing my best to figure it out, because this has been, I mean, I usually pick up on more. Have we gone through places where other people have picked up on things? Because we went to the computer room, right?
Right.
I mean, it felt dense, but I just want to make sure we're not missing something.
Yeah, well, the only place that the first time we ever had anybody come through here was, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name from last
week. Steven,
yeah. And so.
But he just was saying that he was feeling like male energy and female energy. He was doing it based on which side of his body he felt it on, the chills.
And, okay. And we have not gone through that space yet. And that was on the second floor, because he said there were some.
Right, he was picking it up on the first floor, too.
I forget the name, too.
Talbot.
Talbot.
It's funny because I'm going in a different direction. Do you know anything about the history of the employees? Because I get that there's a gentleman that had a heart attack, that worked and had a heart attack that died here. So I've been picking that up for a little
while. Do you have a year on that?
I could definitely. The former Sears employees are going to come and tour.
I feel like it's a Robert or a Bob, which is a really crazy parallel. But that's what I saw a Bob. So I feel like it's a Robert that goes as a Bob. And but I mean, I think he died in the building. So if there's any way to find out, and it's an employee, that's what I feel like. And I feel like it was someone who worked here for some time. Gosh, years. And if I'm off, I don't mind being wrong. But I feel like this would have been like, I mean, was it 1962, 60? Was it open during that time? Because it's 60s, and that's what I think. I just got chills. I think it was 19, around that time.
And two of the people that are coming.
And he smoked a lot of cigarettes. But they're showing me this now, so I really am getting this. I can't even get a stature. He was a little bit overweight, shorter in stature, because I can see. So he's got like the. I don't mean to be rude. I always feel like I'm being rude. He's got pudgy hands.
Yeah,
so this would be a smaller, frame man that was a little overweight, that smoked a lot. He had his own office, and he died here in the building.
Could you smoke at the building? I guess you could back then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
they smoked in their offices.
Yeah, because in the 80s, my mom could smoke in the hospital right after she had me, so.
What's that series on?
Mad Men.
Mad Men, yeah. It's like, it's funny because I'm like kind of seeing that, When we were downstairs, I was getting just visions of how busy it was. I feel like this was a really busy, store. There were people in and out and stuff. Oh, wow. Okay. Because, it was just filled in there. And then I would be interested to know also, because I really do believe that I feel like this was something maybe they'd done it with their other stores, but was Sears the first one to, not have any windows in the shopping area? Because I really picked up on that. Like, this was they wanted to see how that would work, or there's something to that,
An employee has said that, Sarah Little, she worked here for 7 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that would be interesting. I just got chills.
Yeah, she actually worked inside a cage and kept track of over $15 million worth of diamonds.
Oh, my God. That gave me chills.
There were no jewelers.
Right.
Oh, I used to sit and go through that big book, circle everything you want.
But, yeah,
she talked about the fact that they were doing this as sort of like a test. But I feel like it was one of the first stores is what I'm getting that they were, I mean, I see like,
and, they really
and you know, it's funny because I was going to say that it's men. I mean, this store was run by men. Yes. Love and Gratitude. It's because it's all men because they said the men would sit and watch the numbers as compared to the other stores with windows. But this was like the first store to do that. I've got full chills on that. Let's keep
Sarah has said that she was one of the only women that was in a management position after 30 years. She very often felt very aware that she was the only woman in those managers' meetings with a lot of men.
What's interesting is I have a friend in New York going that on says in here that. Too. Oh, good Lord, yeah. There's a whole lot of that. There's like sexual energy all over the place. That's kind of funny.
We met a couple in April when we had the Ghost of Crosstown Opera.
Right.
They were actually passed away, but their grandchildren came to the opera and said that their grandfather proposed to their mom on the loading dock right
Aww.
Outside.
Oh, how cool.
And so, yeah, supposedly there was like some matchmaking and shenanigans and hanky-panky going on back in the day.
That's fun. I wonder if she would know. I feel like she'd remember if somebody,
I can ask
died. But I mean, I'm like seeing the ambulance. The whole thing.
Right.
So it's like I'm really picking up on that. Checking in because then we'd want to see if he jumped. I don't feel like he's here in the building though.
And when she just means jump, you mean he's
gone
up. gone up.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's terminology that was brought to me.
So I have been told that a piece of this ornate concrete actually fell one time right here. A woman was walking into this entrance and it fell.
Oh, it was
her
on this entrance? I thought it was the very front.
No.
Huh.
Anyway, the brick or the piece of concrete hit her on her head and killed her.
Wow.
Right out there.
Yeah,
because this
you
is
mean
the.
Outside?
Yes, she was walking into this entrance right here.
Oh, okay.
This entrance right here was the sort of the local people's entrance. It was called the catalog or the outlet entrance. But everybody that was local in Memphis came in through this door and not the regular department store. Because when they ordered things from the Wish Book, Memphians couldn't get it delivered. Mm-hmm. They had to come pick up their things from the Wish Book. So there was a lot of local traffic of people coming in and out right here. And then right there used to be a gas station and sort of a mechanic's garage, also where they worked on cars.
And that was all affiliated with Sears, mm-hmm. too, like a Sears garage.
Yes.
I would have loved to have seen this place, like, in its heyday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
Now, you did talk about before that we even saw a sign that said no employees beyond this point, that the warehouse people and the retail people kind of had a beef with each other mm-hmm. because you weren't allowed to intermingle.
Yes, and that's why you have these gates right here.
Oh, so we're there.
From the third to the fourth floor every time. So, and the no public and no retail people could be up here. This was warehouse workers only.
I was going to say that was an act of segregation, right? Mm-hmm. We're in Memphis.
mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah,
it would have been a segregated thing.
You would be, you'd have white workers on the floor.
Right, okay.
You'd have the black workers in the back.
Come on, James.
So this is that.
Oh, this is that. Oh, wow. That gold. Oh, I got. This is very Mad Men speaking of.
I love the orange carpeted columns.
Oh, my gosh. These are yucky. Yeah. They are not pretty.
Oh,
and all the mold. You can see all the mold,
this
too.
This is where, like if you had a
25-year
anniversary or you were an executive and you didn't want to eat with the regular people down in the cafeteria, this was like
I do want to check
space.
This view out.
This
though.
Is all where all the men hung out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. I could never work walking up all these stairs. I mean, I work all day long on my feet, but just going up and down stairs. Oh, my gosh.
So now we're inside the tower.
Okay.
So we're on the 11th floor.
Oh,
the
wow.
The building is 10 stories tall, but the tower goes up to 15.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure this is what Chris is talking about.
Maybe. This is pretty creepy.
We call this the Cypress Room. This was sort of like the rich board execs CD room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Photograph of it from back in the day. It used to be a mantelpiece and a Sears coat of arms and guns and
other
manly things.
Oh, yeah, I mean, look at the beams, too.
Yeah.
It's a cool room. Are all the floors like this with wood?
No, just this one.
Just this one.
This is the only one.
This is, I mean, this really is like being in an episode of Mad Men.
I have no idea.
Wow.
That'd be an expensive
floor
job for back
then. It feels
and
like
you can smell the wood in here,
it
too.
Is.
This would definitely be good.
This is definitely this is the swanky office.
Yeah.
Slate floors.
I've only met one employee that's ever been in here, and he worked here for like 30 or 40 years, and they interviewed him in this room.
Huh.
And then that's the only time he ever saw it.
That has to be pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
What's above us right now?
Is straight above
roof?
Us is roof.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll actually stand. So that light is from the roof.
Okay, yeah, I was about to ask that.
In just a second. Yeah.
And this little spotlight. Mm-hmm. You got it, Gil?
Yeah.
Can this door close?
No, leave it open.
Okay. I didn't know if it was going to swing back, and then we'd be stuck up here.
Yeah,
oh, look at the pyramid. That's just awesome.
Oh, wow.
That is beautiful. Oh, wow. Do they have plans for the roof? I mean, what are they going to do development-wise?
We'll have access to the roof, but for the first 5 years, because of historic tax credits, we can't add anything to the roof.
Okay.
You know, like a community garden or a green space, because it wasn't here originally when the building was built in 27. So.
Oh, wow.
So
So just what's originally here is all you can have?
Yeah, that's how sort of how Parks and Rec and the Historic Preservation Office works.
I would go to a bar up here.
Yeah,
I definitely would.
I said to say, like, I would love it if that room became a bar.
Oh
like,
my gosh, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
It's already halfway a bar, so we just gotta put some liquor in it.
Probably do some urban
exploring.
Gardening up here.
Yeah, and so we were inside the tower, and the water tank, the 75,000 gallon water tank, is actually up there. So that's the purpose.
And
of
that
the
was
tower.
Where, if they had a fire, that's where the water would come because mm-hmm. the city couldn't.
Yeah,
I guess,
state of the art.
Enough water.
Yeah, gravity-fed sprinkler system.
James is like, finally, I can sit down.
He loves to come up here and lay down.
He's got some air. Is that the trees growing out of the side of the
yeah.
building? That's so cool.
So there's no, I mean, I hate to ask this, but there's no history of, like, jumpers from the tower or anything like that?
No. Not
that actually kind of surprised me.
I'm like, surprised, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, I don't know about it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and she asked me something about have there been a lot of murders in the Earthen Building, and I was like, if there have been, they probably weren't reported, or,
yeah.
you know, that's not really something they're going to put in the news. I guess they document that stuff somewhere, but.
That's funny. Would they not report that?
Well, when the building was abandoned, it would have just been, like, groups of people coming in, or homeless people. So, mm-hmm. I mean.
Gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they would have to admit they've broken into a building. With
gotcha.
Friends and then something like that. I have friends that have been inside the pyramid building in the last year too.
Yeah, apparently yeah. there's like a big office in the very top of it.
Is there really?
That's what I've heard, or that's what he's him and.
I mean, they've taken pictures from it, so they've really
I
done it, but.
See that.
There was.
My friend would take his girls, like take girls on dates.
Oh yeah.
They probably just thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Well, that's, you know what, I gotta tell you, that's what's funny. I'm picking up on sexual energy in here more than anything else.
I could believe
no,
that.
No, in the building in general.
Really?
Yeah, that's what's funny to me. I mean, that's what I'm picking up on.
Yeah.
There was a crystal skull in the top of the pyramid.
I heard about that.
Yeah, they took it out.
What is that?
A crystal skull. It was put there to raise the vibration. The pyramid's actually there to funnel energy. To raise the vibration for Memphis, because Memphis is one of the lowest vibrating cities. I sound so bad because I love Memphis, but it took me a while, but I love it now. But it's one of the lowest vibrating cities in the world.
What does that mean, though, to have a vibration?
To have a low vibration?
Yeah.
Well, it's like my understanding, I can give you the vision I was shown. So I was like shown the world, the earth, and there's pockets, like dense pockets that are shown to me as darker, different mm-hmm. cities all the way around. And the vibration has to be, we can't make the change. You know, we can't make the complete flip to the next consciousness, which is what's happening. The veil's becoming thinner and thinner. But the lower pockets have got, it's all math. They've got to raise their vibration.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would be more destructive to make the shift. And literally,
okay.
if you look at it this way, because so if you're vibrating lower, that means that people are less in touch with God or with, right?
Right. And I was about to ask you if that had something to do with, like, maybe the crime and the general, like, Memphis-ness.
Oh, absolutely.
That goes on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to pair up with the higher crime rate.
Not to mention we were named
like
after
that.
The city of the dead.
When you know, and again, I don't mean this is just truth. I don't mean it as negative. But when I go out to California and I spend a few months out there, I come back out here to Memphis, it takes me a good couple weeks to adjust to the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
If you go spend 3 weeks in Oregon and then come back, you'll see what I mean. It's not a judgment of the people. I always tell people, you know, that Memphis isn't the pavement. You know, it's the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good people. But it's a low vibrating city. People just in general aren't as happy.
Okay. Well, that's true.
So the pyramid was actually built to help raise the vibration and the
and
shape
And so the
itself,
crystal skull.
The crystal skull was put in the top. Now, my understanding is a few years ago, I think it was, I'm not sure, about 10 years ago, the mayor at the time took it out. Nobody knows, to my knowledge, what happened
it
to
is.
It.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
But what? So the skull, though, would have just been the type of crystal used or something would have been to raise the vibrations? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not. I
like
don't.
A talisman, I think.
Okay. Yeah. More the intention than what it was, maybe?
What's that? The
crystal More skull? The intention of what it was supposed to do than what it actually is?
No, my understanding is the skulls are really powerful, like very spiritually powerful. And what it would do is the pyramid itself, they're built that way to project literally the vibration, high vibration,
right,
out into the universe.
Right.
And the skull would just accentuate that. So it would, okay, it would have raised its ability to do that.
Now I'm going to have to look into this whole thing because I'm
skulls.
Like, whose idea was it to put that there?
And then find out what happened
to it.
And my understanding is it was Sai Baba that sent the crystal skull here to Memphis to have it placed in there.
Sai Baba?
Sai Baba.
I don't know what that is.
He's an ascended master who returned, and he just ascended again, is what they say.
Okay.
I have a friend who actually went and met him, but he's now ascended again.
This is going to be a whole other conversation that
yeah,
we're going to have
yeah,
to
yeah,
have.
You're talking about the pyramid was built here to project the vibration.
To raise
and
the vibration.
I've heard that the pyramid, the whole just like construction of it and everything, which is very costly and almost overly costly for just to have like that building. So who do you know who's like who was involved with that, pushing it? Because, I mean, it wouldn't
it
be hard to push to get, I mean, it's a pyramid and we live in Memphis. I can get that. But, like, when you put it, like, in the sense of, like, it was put here to, like, raise our vibrations up, like, who would be...
Well, what's wild is my understanding is originally built as a concert venue.
Yeah.
And what's funny is in all their infinite wisdom, they thought making it a pyramid would be a good way to conduct sound for a concert. It doesn't work.
It was terrible.
That's because you're sending all that noise up to heaven, man. It's not coming down around the people.
Yeah.
So, but what's really funny that you mentioned that, the city I was born in, Sacramento, California, is the only other city in the United States to have a pyramid built on the river in downtown.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard Sacramento is kind of a down kind of a place. Is that true?
It's a little lower vibrating as well, you know, as far as for the area. Crime's a little high. I'm not sure. I haven't been there for a long time, but that's where I grew up. And I always thought it was funny I'd be in. He's comfy, isn't he?
Yeah.
So what was the pyramid used for there? Was it like a...
They did the same thing. They started it for conventions and concert halls. They found the sound. It was empty for a long time. Now, I believe it's offices. Huh. They've turned it into office space in Sacramento.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's.
I've never thought about that before, that a pyramid would not be good for sound. And I guess I wouldn't have if I wasn't married to him. Yeah, but.
The only people.
Would know that.
I've just never thought about that, with the sound bouncing around,
that,
yeah.
That benefited from that were the Tigers. Because when the Tigers played there, usually. The way they called it, oh man, I forgot what they called it, but I mean, just the sound in there. They
the
said,
den.
Yeah, they could just set, like cancel, like just completely destroy teams because they couldn't hear anything in there because of how loud it was.
That's great.
The pyramid with the sixth man.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Exactly.
What I find fascinating is it's like you know we don't really understand how much we're puppets for spirit, you know. The pyramids on the river have a much bigger, you know, importance than we're aware of. I don't know if you guys have, you know, if you study the pyramids in Egypt, it's all really interesting. And who knows? I mean, I haven't studied it, but I'm sure astrologically it's under, you know, some amazing star or planet or something as well.
Right.
It's all about vibrations. It's all science and math.
Do you feel like, I guess what you'll call spirit leads people to do things like that? Or do you think that it's more just like a subconscious awareness? Like they say that we only use 10% of our brain, but the other side could be giving that 10% ideas into something. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's my understanding though that we write all this before we leave, every detail.
Right.
Nothing
the blueprint.
Is happenstance. Yeah. So it's like in your subconscious, somewhere in the subconscious, whoever originally built that pyramid, like, so we'll go back to heaven. When he was in heaven, right, he said, I'll build the pyramid.
I'll be the one.
So, you know, he gets down here and you're not consciously aware of that. Huh. But all of that is planned out. None of this is
My mom was really big into the Sylvia Brown psychic. You have to know who that is. She was on Montel. But
I
she,
do. I do.
Okay,
I do.
You guys, like, you have to know. She was on Montel.
Well, and anything before, you know, like 7-8 years ago, then I'll remember.
But she was really big into Sylvia when Sylvia was alive. But Sylvia talks about the blueprint. So coming into your blueprint, and you write it before you come into the earth and do the reincarnation thing.
Beautiful. And that's funny because, as I said, I had never read. But it's, I guess for me, I studied as contracts. you know, or it okay, starts yeah. as a movie script. That's what's fun.
Right, and so no, they great, you watch like, the movie. Well, she yeah. supposedly you watch the movie when you get back.
Oh, heck
after
yeah.
you cross, you watch the movie, and then you talk about what your lessons yeah. are, and then you decide if you want to come back or when you want to do that.
Yeah, I've got to correct that, though, because I think that people need to know you. It's possible to do your movie reviews before you go home to heaven. I do them all the time. So I needed to, you know, step in and say that. The more conscious we become, the more consciously aware we become of our co-partnership with heaven, why would you wait till you get home to heaven to run your movies and learn? So they run movies for me now. All you have to do is ask.
Hmm.
I just ask to see through the eyes of the other person, you know, and I ask to run that movie. Show me how I could have done that different. It completely changes your perspective.
Huh.
It's very
I guess
cool.
that makes sense. To me, it's very literal, though. It's like, okay, I'll sit down and get some popcorn and watch a movie, and it's going to be a tearjerker. I don't want to watch this one. Not want to watch twice. But I guess, I mean, is it like that? Is it, or is it just, is it kind of like for us who don't have that to, like, just remember and reflect, or is it more like a movie?
No, it's really what it is. It's more like a classroom. Now, I don't want to state it that way because, you know, emotions are different and, you know, heaven's different. So it's not a classroom as we think of it in that way. But it's a classroom. You're very seriously watching these movies because you want to learn how you can change. And really what we're all here to do is become more authentic, you know, to become our authentic selves. It's really about loving self. Am I making sense? So
you make sense.
You want to watch that movie. You know, yeah, some of it's painful. You know, at times people say there's no emotion in heaven. That's not what I'm shown at all. People get frustrated in heaven. People get sad in heaven. And you make apologies in heaven when necessary, you know. Very different understanding, though. It's from a place of non-judgment. But, you know, I'm always shown that we want to watch the movies. We want to grow and learn. And then what I'm shown, which is funny, you'll hear people, they'll say all the time, I'm not coming back. And I'll hear the angels all the time. They'll say, the people who say they're not coming back, they'll be the first ones back home watching that movie and writing their next script, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm always
That's a cool way to put it, writing their next movie, yeah. their next script.
That's the way it's shown to me. We literally, and we take a lot of pride in the characters that we create. And each character is another expression of self. I mean, we've got thousands of characters. It's just like an actor or actress. They have a resume that they bring, you know.
And all of our past lives are on a resume.
And it's, oh, yeah. It's a soul blueprint is what I'm shown. Like, I've seen it. It's beautiful. But they call it, for me anyway, the soul blueprint.
Okay.
Everything you've ever been is there.
And I have to ask, too, with Christianity, anyways, there's the heaven and the hell.
We've been taught, but that is not the truth.
Okay.
That's what Christianity is taught.
To fear God and hell and hellfire and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's not a true teaching. Okay. I'm going to be real bold there. In fact, Christianity was assigned.
You're not offending me at all. So
Christianity was assigned to Jesus. See, people don't understand that. First of all, literally we, and I say we because collectively, you know, we've all got to take responsibility for what's happened historically. But we created a religion. We called it Christianity, and then we named Jesus the poster boy. And we have been misrepresenting his life and his teachings. There's no hell. The only hell I'm told we'll ever experience is right here on earth. Yeah, hell is judgment and being judged. That's
so,
what we go through here.
So let me ask
not
you
in
this.
Heaven.
I'm asking this, like, personally. I'm not just, like, quizzing you or, like, trying to trick you or anything.
No, I know.
So, like, the spirits that are left behind, they're just not going to heaven yet. That could be a form of hell or purgatory.
This is, you know, it's funny. It's purely science. The only reason that you couldn't return to heaven or the fifth dimension, whatever it is that someone views, nirvana, whatever it is,
right.
Film of gratitude. So whatever you view that as, the great vat of love, you know, with that said, what was the question?
I'm sorry. So the spirits left behind.
Gotcha. Okay. Why would they be there? It's all science. It's literally a vibration. If you are vibrating too low to enter the fifth realm, it would literally be, and this is how they show me, it's like they run into a wall of glass. It literally just, they can't get in. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
You're vibrating too low.
Right.
Which is why it's so important, like when we were talking about the soul reviews and the movies, do that here. Ask to see from another perspective. There's no right or wrong. You know, nobody would hate each other. Everybody would love each other if nobody was trying to be right. If we could just accept, okay, that's how you feel. This is how I feel. Nobody needs to validate my beliefs, you know. I don't need to validate yours. If we would agree to love each other more for our differences instead of arguing over things that are never going to be solved. When two people are arguing, neither one of them are listening. Are ever right.
They're not listening either.
But neither one of them are really right. The truth's somewhere in the middle. Right. You know, we get lost in that. So that's what it comes down to, is when you have people in the in-between, it's either A, because their beliefs themselves are keeping them out of heaven, nirvana, the great vat of, you know, love, or it is because they're vibrating too low. You'll see this a lot with tragic death. So I walked with Ren Wright.
Who's Ren Wright?
Lorenzen Wright,
oh, okay.
The basketball player.
Okay.
That was killed. I'm going to do that on the podcast, but that was just like the great example that came up, but I froze when it came up because I was like,
well, you're welcome to talk about it. It's a whether you want to or not.
Well, it just was a great example to me. I walked with him for a year working out emotions so that he could go to the light. I mean, I watched the entire process. It was incredible. And I do a lot of that work, which they call soul retrieval. So when somebody dies tragically, that's just a great example. So when they die in a state of feeling betrayed, which is what he felt, you know, he's looking at people he knows holding a gun
right.
at his face in feeling of gratitude. So you die. When I got to him, he was angry, you know, and so it was explained to me through that process. It was the first time I got to watch the process of maybe, you know, the Catholics might call it purgatory.
Right. And I grew up loosely Catholic, so.
So, you know, yeah, what I'm saying. So it's just, you know, that those emotions have to be worked out before you can go back. It's all science. There's no judgment involved.
Okay.
Very cool.
Right. I was just curious on your take on that. I mean, it's fairly the same for, I think, everyone that either is or claims to be a psychic medium, that it's kind of the same story, just using different words to tell it. Does that
yes.
make sense?
Yeah, I think everyone, well, and that's another thing, that's another reason why we, you know, maybe we argue as much as we do. We get lost in definitions.
Right.
Everyone has a different language. The language that I use is the language that that spirit uses with me.
Okay.
And they work with me on a kind of a more of a quirky, you know, way.
Okay. Well, you're kind of quirky. That's a good thing. I'm so glad that I found you. Out of all of the people that I tried to contact, that you were the one that was contacting me back.
Awesome.
I'm really glad.
Thank you. Well, namaste. I just want to find more ghosts.
I know. I do want to ask you about your crystal, too, though. You said that Spirit told you to wear it in tonight. It doesn't have any... The actual stone doesn't have any meaning. It's just... Is it a protection thing, or...
It's funny because as you're asking, it's being explained to me. It's not protection. When I speak this, you know, it's all beautiful. Sage is beautiful. Crystals are beautiful. You don't need any of that for protection.
Okay.
Your thoughts are the most powerful thing you have. So that's the first thing. But this was a gift. You know, when things are given, I had someone in a class I'd never met before. And when we broke for lunch, we were going to lunch and she said, what is it with you and smoky quartz? And I these are like diamonds to me, like this might be one of my favorite stones. So I turned around, I smiled, and it was like I knew. You know, it was one of those heaven connections. And she said, I have a necklace that I wrap that I want to give you. I'm being told by spirit. So for me, it's like it's a gift from her, but it's also a gift from spirit.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Not sure why they just told me to wear it today.
Okay. Well, I was just curious because I know there's and Steven, I think from the last episode, he was mentioning like curses and witchcraft and things like that. And so I didn't know if, because I don't delve too much into like that part of everything, but like if the crystals, like each different kind of crystals, because I think my Aunt Key was kind of into that stuff, but,
and the crystals are beautiful, but you know, I see them more as something absolutely gorgeous that Mother Nature produces that has
right.
a vibration that has healing.
Okay, yes, the healing thing is...
So you can imagine watermelon tourmaline, you know?
Yeah.
I can say, watermelon tourmaline, and, you know,
right.
it's a great harmonizer for the heart. I don't have to physically hold it.
Right, okay.
If this is the stage, none of this is real. We place too much importance.
On the actual...
Know? Yeah, I mean, okay. It's like literally, and I don't mean this to be funny, I certainly don't mean it to be judgmental, but I mean, it's like there are people who believe you cannot get rid of dark energies or lower vibrational spirits without a stick of sage. I mean, that, you know, they're gonna be like, oh my God, we can't do this without sage. Are you kidding me?
That's hilarious. Like, oh is that God. We had to burn sage in our house when we lived in our house.
But see, here's.
But we had a Native American roommate too, so he was very
into
that.
Sage is beautiful, but it's the intention behind it.
Yeah.
It's not the sage. It's not like the spirits are going, oh God, it's sage.
It smells so bad.
It's not. It's not the gig.
I was just like, I heard this is supposed to work. Let's try it.
But there's the key. You knew it was going to work.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So you know
it did for a little bit.
Comfort and intent. Well, because they're always going to be drawn to light.
All right, do you want to go down to the second floor?
Yeah.
Do you have time?
Marie and her mom are
home. Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
No, they just called. So, yeah, that would be great if we could walk down and
sure.
open the door for them, and we'll just go to the second floor.
Okay. Do you want to pause it while we're going
sure.
upstairs? Kind of all over.
Yeah, we haven't been to this floor at all yet, so I think just walking.
Just to stay here for a while?
Second floor could be cool, and then we'll go anywhere else.
Have y'all been to the department store?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was there anything down there? I told her the story.
What?
Juju's story about my grandmother's story about like the guy who killed himself?
Yes, I shared that with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He came in and turned the gun on himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He bought one.
Right next to the pattern. My mother's looking through patterns, and that's the hunting section.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. And all of a sudden, there I use.
Oh, my gosh.
He bought the gun and shot himself right there.
Oh, wow. He bought the gun in the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just
loaded it and shot himself.
While we're talking about it, Abigail, do you have anything, like, have you ever experienced or seen or heard of anything like that, like the animal, mythical creatures kind of thing, or the demonics or anything like that? Like, what is your take on that?
It's funny, because I didn't believe in it until I experienced it, but, I mean, I experienced it firsthand. And it was funny that you said a dog-like creature that would stand up, but I mean, I have witnessed, I don't know what you call it, entities or, I don't want to call them demons.
Yeah, because have to come, yeah, so where do they come from?
My understanding is that, I just always call it lower vibrational energy. I don't like to call it negative. It's really important that the negative's here. Does that make sense?
Right.
And the way we've looked at negative, I mean, you can't create anything without a negative and a positive charge. But my understanding is anything that is, you know, like an incarnate soul. The way I'm shown it is when somebody or energy continues making lower vibrational choices, what we would call bad choices, you know, or doing things to hurt others or things we would call evil, that at a certain point that energy can take on a form.
A new form, okay.
A new form or a new shape. And most often the way it's been shown to me and what I have experienced firsthand is it will be something like that. They do their best
to scare you, maybe.
Humans. They'll do their best. But it's my understanding that that type of energy cannot take on a full human form.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot of times they'll come in, like what I saw looked like a wolf.
Okay.
When you would get down to the end, though, there were no feet. Like, it's an incomplete shape.
I've read about this.
Yeah.
I cannot remember where I read it, but they're always missing something,
always.
Like a hands or our feet, and because they can't complete the form. Correct. But I read about it in a way that that it was like a, and I'll just use demonic because it's very loosely, but that it was like a darker entity, that it was not a ghost or human or anything like that. So that's creepy.
And most often,
the fact that you got chills on that, man, was like, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, it's. I mean, things are out there like that. You know, I think that whether you see them or not is really determined upon how much fear of it you hold. If you're not fearful of those things, they're not going to be part of your existence.
Right. Okay.
So does that make sense?
Yes, it does very personally make sense.
From a Christian perspective, you know, in the Bible, what it says over and over again is if you really want to, you know, whoop the devil, then laugh. The devil cannot stay in the presence of laughter. What does that mean? That you're not scared. If you're laughing, you're not scared. So what that means is his job's done. He's going to go, you know, he's going to go somewhere where he can make more of an effect on somebody.
So you can only perceive it if you're scared?
Pretty much. It's like it goes back to your thoughts. I mean,
so that would, I hate to bring this up, but that would make sense for the Mimosa House, wouldn't it? Why you never had anything really happen to you? Because you didn't really believe it?
Well, I believe that some people are more sensitive to stuff like that than others. Maybe I'm just not. I've always been more of a skeptic than you. That's why I kind of took on doing this, because...
To keep me grounded?
Well, no, not to be grounded, but just kind of an adventure for me, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Make you believe in me.
No, I don't know that. I mean, I just... It's interesting. Like, all of this stuff is interesting to me.
All right, and that is our time. Do you have anything, Abigail, that you want to talk about or letting people know what's going on? Anything upcoming?
Yep, I've got an event, Conversations with Heaven. It'll be a Saturday at the Cooper Walker Place in the Sanctuary. We'll be having a live acoustical performance with Barbara Janice Lester at 6:30. And then I will be doing reads and connecting people to loved ones crossed over from 7 to 9 o'clock. And that is $30 prepaid. You can go online at abigailnoel.com or it's $35 at the door.
And that's Noel, N-O-E-L, because for some reason I think Noel and it's N-O-E-L-L-E. So the first time I went to your website, I was like, this is not right.
Yeah, N-O-E-L. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. And thank you, Lisa, for doing this again. This was awesome. And thank you for being here, Abigail. And then I'm going to have trouble with your name. I'm so sorry.
Ellery.
And your mother? Ellery and her mother. And James. Thanks for coming, guys. All right, and that's it.
Thanks
for listening. Thank you, Abigail. Thank you so much. All right.
901 Paranormal is a product of OAM Audio. For more information, visit oammemphis.tumblr.com. Interested in being a guest on 901 Paranormal? Please email 901paranormal@gmail.com with your story or any questions. To find out more about our podcast and see pictures from the actual episodes, visit facebook.com/901paranormal or find us on Twitter @901paranormal.